BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Just before we introduce our guest and topic for today, I would like to do just a quick follow-up to yesterday's program with Matt Staver from Liberty Council, who was our guest, as we discussed H.R. 5, which is the so-called Equality Act, whereby wherever we see race in our civil rights codes here in the United States, they would add things like sexual orientation and gender identity. As soon as I got off the air, here I had an email from Matt Staver indicating that the first hearing, a full committee hearing, will be taking place Tuesday, April 2nd, 10 a.m. On H.R. 5. This is before the House Judiciary Committee, where the chair is Gerald Nadler of New York, and hearing coming up very, very soon on Tuesday, April 2nd. Wanted you to be aware of that very item. We'll have more information as days go on. Also, just wanted to share with you breaking news within the hour, and that is the House of Representatives failed to override President Trump's veto of the measure to terminate the national emergency on the Mexican border. So his national emergency does stand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the White House calls it a two-year, $25 million witch hunt. Fox News senior political analyst Bert Hume called it the worst journalistic debacle of his lifetime. Some have referred to it as the elite lie. What are we speaking of? It's the Mueller investigation seeking to pin on President Trump allegations of colluding with Russia in order to win the election and Russia to interfere with the 2016 election. And despite the release of this report, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer said the release raises as many questions as it answers, and other Democratic chairs are calling for a new round of investigative hearings. Well, here to address the Russian collusion hoax, we welcome back to Crosstalk Robert Romano, who is Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me back.
Well, according to the Attorney General William Barr, in the midst of this 22-month probe, Mueller employed 19 lawyers assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. Robert, what did we get for all of this?
Well, according to Barr's letter to Congress, where he quotes Mueller's report, it's the part that he quoted stated the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Now, this flies in the face of everything we've been told, and also in the face of what the government itself was told by Christopher Steele, former British agent, who was hired by the DNC and the Clinton campaign in 2016 to investigate this very matter. Apparently, the Steele dossier was fabricated. Either his sources lied to him, or he lied, or both. In any event, the Mueller's the Justice Department looked into this. This investigation has been going on for almost 3 years now. If you go back prior to Mueller, the FBI had gotten a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant against Trump campaign official Carter Page and maybe others. We haven't heard about all that yet, but what we do know is that there was a FISA warrant that began in October of 2016 and that the investigation was actually going on prior to that. And so they've had plenty, ample time to look into this. Mueller had I think every interest to meet this out and figure out if there was any collusion, and now we know there was not collusion. So the DNC dossier had alleged that Trump and his campaign had helped Russia hack the DNC and the John Podesta emails and put them onto WikiLeaks. That there was a conspiracy that Trump and the campaign had quote full knowledge and support of the hacks. And then we found out later that from Mueller's own court filings that the hacks took place before there was ever any even attempt to contact not Russia but WikiLeaks. If you have a conspiracy with Russia, why do you need to contact WikiLeaks about future releases of emails? That was Roger Stone, and that all occurred after it was already public knowledge that WikiLeaks would be publishing emails about Hillary Clinton. So you have Roger Stone, who was trying to contact WikiLeaks after it was reported that they had emails on Clinton, to find out what those emails were. So everything Mueller put out there leading to the disclosure of his report was all was already confirming that there was no collusion, that everything that happened was in response to kind of public reporting about these hacks and these emails, but that there was no actual conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia to do these hacks or to get them on WikiLeaks. It was essentially all made up, and we had a national security investigation that was started by the Obama administration into the opposition party, the Trump campaign, in an election year. You had people spied on, and then when Mueller got into the mix, then people were beginning to be prosecuted for unrelated crimes, like Michael Flynn had a process crime that occurred in 2017 after the election, in his interaction with investigators. George Papadopoulos, the same thing. Roger Stone, the same thing. Nobody was prosecuted for hacking the DNC or anything that occurred in 2016. It was all stuff after the fact, or in the case of Paul Manafort, long before the fact of Trump even running for president, for unrelated tax charges and bank fraud and that sort of thing. And so I think that this is it's a travesty. I guess you could say justice was served, but I mean, look what got us to this point. It's utterly reprehensible what occurred here, and we need absolute reforms of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That you can't have the administration spying on its political opponents on made-up charges that are lodged by their opposing candidate. It's unbelievable what happened here.
And there's quite a network, because we think of these FISA warrant requests. I mean, were there lies told to the judges then, or were judges in collusion with this, or does that still need to be unfolded?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to know what James Comey knew and when he knew it. Did they know that the Steele dossier was, had falsehoods in it? Did they cover up those falsehoods? We need to get to the bottom of that. But it's not solely an exercise, I think, of prosecutors. Oh, we need to prosecute the prosecutors. How often do prosecutors get prosecuted, frankly, for faulty arrest warrants? Sometimes they make mistakes. So maybe that's what happened here. We don't know the details of what was in their minds when these FISA applications were put forward. What we do know is that James Comey testified in January of 2017 that the dossier, which they used for the FISA, was, quote, salacious and unverified. So if it was unverified, well, what were they using it for? Why didn't they verify it before they said, we need a FISA warrant? I mean, maybe they should have tried to track some of this stuff down. Instead, all you had was suspicions by the Justice Department and the FBI that Trump was somehow in cahoots with Russia, but they didn't really have a factual basis for drawing that conclusion. And now we know from Mueller that there was no factual basis for it. And so the whole thing really was a witch hunt this whole time. They were investigating a crime that was colluding with Russia on the email hacks that was never committed.
And yet there are those who say, okay, no collusion, but he left open the idea of obstruction of justice. How do you respond to that?
Actually, Mueller punted on that issue and said, Justice Department proper, we now have the new Attorney General here. You're going to decide whether there was obstruction or not. Mueller did not recommend prosecution for obstruction of justice, and he left it to Rosenstein and for William Barr, the new Attorney General. And both Rosenstein and Barr concurred that you had no nexus to a crime here. There was no attempt to cover up an investigation into Trump for collusion, because Trump knew there was no collusion. And so if Trump knew there was no collusion and he sees the FBI trying to frame him for collusion, and then he fires James Comey, well, James Comey should be fired in that instance for leading a false investigation and trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election and impugning to Congress that he was a Russian agent. It was unbelievable what happened here. Of course James Comey should have been fired. Fire him again, just for good measure.
Robert Romano is our guest today, Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government. It seems like the leadership of the opposition party has not gotten the message that the probe is over. I mean, they're outraged that the president has said that he's exonerated, yet they say the report raises as many questions as answers. Maxine Waters says Trump just got into people's heads, that he said no collusion so often that people finally believed it. We got Congressman Nadler promising House hearings. Comment on this response from the opposition party.
Okay, Donald Trump persuaded Bob Mueller that there was no collusion. Okay. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. This is not a matter of popular opinion. Oh, American people are, you do a poll and you find out if they support the Mueller probe or if they think it's a witch hunt. Although I think there was a poll that came out recently that said a majority actually do believe it was a witch hunt. And you know what? They're right. This was an investigation into crimes that were not committed. But, you know, the Justice Department threw their best shot at this. They looked into this. They wasted almost 3 years on this nonsense. Utter nonsense that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. And I guess, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, Melania Trump is like one of the Bond girls or something. It's so stupid. It was so idiotic from the get-go. You knew it was fake. You knew it was just a kind of one of those campaign charges where the opponent says something outrageous about their opponent. And, you know, it's really not based in reality, and it's hyperbole. They investigated hyperbole.
Robert, the Democratic leadership has been calling for the full report to be made public. Should it?
Well, there's going to be information in there, I think, that they're not allowed to release under Justice Department regulations. And so I think what Barr said is he's going to release that which can be released. What they're not going to do is release information that says, here's all this information that we learned about an individual that might make them appear to be guilty of something, but it doesn't rise actually to the level of a crime. And so they'll give you the pros and cons of why somebody wasn't prosecuted. I don't think necessarily that should be released publicly. That's why James Comey was fired when he did that for Hillary Clinton, saying, oh, here's all this stuff that we know about Hillary Clinton and her email server, but we're not gonna indict her for anything. And it's like, they're really not supposed to do that. If you read Rosenstein's letter recommending the firing of James Comey, it's all about his decision to just appear in July of 2016 on television and talking about all this incriminating information about Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and her email server. And so, and how duplicitous was that, by the way, of Rosenstein to recommend firing Comey and then to sick a special counsel on the president for firing James Comey and following his advice?
My. And in this, too, they're alleging that the Attorney General Barr is not a neutral observer, therefore can't make a determination about the report. I wonder, do they see themselves as being neutral observers in all of this?
They're absolutely not neutral observers. And, you know, William Barr's got, you have to have political control mm-hmm. of the head of the Justice Department. The Attorney General answers to the president. The FBI director answers to the president. We elect presidents to run the executive branch and to, you know, and make certain that there are not abuses like this occurring. You're just supposed to have an independent investigation led by Democrats into Republican presidents. It's not a form of government. It's chaos. It's anarchy. We need to have a unitary executive system. That's what the Constitution calls for. One president who has the executive power. The president has the executive power.
We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do secular scientists say the universe came from?
You know, Chris, it sometimes tickles me when evolutionary scientists mock creation thinking for claiming that creation was ex nihilo or out of nothing. But then they turn around and talk about the Big Bang, when a single speck of matter exploded to form all the stars and galaxies and planets and people. But, you might ask, where did that speck come from? Some scientists now say it appeared out of nothing as a quantum fluctuation in a vacuum. In other words, matter appeared from nothing, and then it exploded. Which would you rather believe, evolution ex nihilo or creation ex nihilo? At least in creation, we have a God that is powerful enough to accomplish the job. And that's the Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the Russian collusion hoax. With us is Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government. Robert, you've been covering this, following this, and have written on this extensively over the last couple of years. Give us a website. You've got information that's available for our readers and listeners here today to follow up on.
Yeah, we've got a lead story on it out today, dailytorch.com.
DailyTorch.com. Should we be hearing more in the news right now about operatives from the Obama administration, the Hillary Clinton campaign, the DNC? Should we be hearing more about those aspects now that this has been found to be a hoax?
Yes. Congress needs to look into this. The Senate, I know that Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham will be looking into this. We're recommending that the Senate have a select committee appointed to look into this matter very thoroughly. In the 1970s, 1975, you had the Church Committee led by Senator Frank Church that looked into abuses by the CIA mass surveillance program into anti-war protesters, members of Congress, and others. It led to the adoption of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was supposed to prevent this sort of political abuse of our intelligence agencies. It failed. The FISA system was rubber stamping these FISA court warrants into the Trump campaign without any verification. Despite the head of the FBI appearing in front of Congress saying, yeah, it's unverified, this dossier, and so then they used the information to get more warrants after that. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that needs to happen. The president should be tasking his intelligence chiefs to look into these matters. They should be looking to declassify all of the information that can be without minus sources and methods so that we know who to trust, basically. The American people are the final safeguard for liberty, and we need to know, we really need to know who is behind this hoax, who perpetrated it, so that it never happens again. There has to be accountability. There has to, people who perpetrated this fraud on the American people have to be held accountable, or this is going to happen again. This can never happen again. This is what Church was warning about in the 1970s, about the abuses that can occur here. That this would be an abyss we would never be able to turn back from. Well, here we are. We're in the abyss, so we got to try to turn back from it nonetheless.
Is it plausible to think that there may be nations outside the U.S. who were involved in trying to somehow delegitimize the Trump election?
That's what George Papadopoulos, your listeners will recall. He was prosecuted on a process crime for not remembering when he or not stating correctly when he was hired by the Trump campaign and when these interactions with the professor Joseph Massoud occurred. Massoud was stringing Papadopoulos along saying, oh, we can get emails from Hillary Clinton's server. And eventually Papadopoulos was never prosecuted for that, but in any event, he says that actually that was some sort of sting operation, that led by Western intelligence agencies. He has a new book out called Deep State Target that lays this out, and I think that Congress should be investigating that too, and they should be looking into it. If there were U.S. allies, Papadopoulos alleges the U.K., Australia, Italy were involved with this, trying to set up the Trump campaign and make them look like they were Russian agents when they really weren't, then we should know about that too. We need to know what allies to trust, mm-hmm. and we need to repair our foreign relationships with these countries, and it should be done publicly, because you can't do this to the United United States. There needs to be a deterrent against doing this to the United States, and that's exposure.
I'd like you to also comment, Robert, if you would, on the media elite's handling of this. I mean, we have the Media Research Center reported that from January 20th, 2017, when the president was inaugurated, to March 21st, 2019, that's the last night before Mueller had sent this report to the attorney general, that ABC, CBS, NBC evening newscast produced a whopping 2,284 minutes of collusion coverage. On average, that's 3 minutes a night, every night, for 791 days. Nearly one-fifth of all Trump evening news coverage has been about this investigation. Britt Hume, as referred to in the opening, called it the worst journalistic debacle of his lifetime. Tell us about the media's obsession of collusion here.
Oh, it's disgraceful. The mainstream media, this is why they call it fake news. Trump had them pegged from day one when this BuzzFeed story broke and the dossier was published and CNN had run with it without any verification. I think that, you know, people should be resigning in disgrace. Rachel Maddow should just, like, you know, fall on her sword and say, I got this wrong, I am resigning, I do not deserve to be a primetime newscaster. The idea that they just took hook, line, and sinker what was being fed to them from the FBI and the intelligence agency chiefs, the fact that they went out and hired these people to be their news analysts is absolutely, utterly absurd. They're acting as a gatekeeper for propaganda from and disinformation operations being carried out by U.S. intelligence agencies. This can't be happening. What is this? It's like a statist operation. Like, this is state media now. And the idea that it's supposed to act in a partisan manner, the agencies are supposed to act that way, the media is supposed to act that way, this is so corrupt. I don't even know where to begin with that. But people should just resign. I mean, I think you get something this wrong, or at least apologize. Let's start there. They should all apologize. Say, President Trump, we apologize to you for calling you a Russian agent, and now we know that's not true. We're really sorry. We're going to get it right and do better next time. You know, and then reform their processes. After WMD in Iraq failed to be found by the U.S. military, and the Iraq Survey Group came back and said, you know, they were either destroyed or maybe some of them got shipped to Syria. In any event, we can't find them. And, you know, when these sorts of failures happen, there's usually a reckoning. There needs to be a major reckoning.
Yeah, I guess if there was any collusion, it's the collusion of the news media to keep the story going in that regard. But indeed, the allegations that Donald Trump was a Russian informant for a number of years just is not the case. Do you believe that this whole debacle has damaged our republic?
I hope not irreparably. This is as bad as it gets. When you have the sitting administration, the incumbent party, spying on the opposition party on made-up charges that they're colluding with Russia, of all things. I mean, it was so silly, and it was so preventable, and you could see it happening in real time, and there were voices of reason at the time saying, don't do this, this is kind of, you know, silly, this is not what the election's about, let's talk about the economy, let's talk about job outsourcing, let's talk about trade, let's talk about addressing illegal immigration. But no, they had to go ahead and display, do a spy thriller on television.
Yeah.
The Democrats will get what they richly deserve in 2020. The American people are the ones who must be tasked with not rewarding this type of behavior. Frankly, I want to know, what did President Obama know, and when did he know it? What did Vice President Biden know, and when did he know it? There needs to be accountability here. There needs to be a deterrent against doing this to the American people. It can never happen again.
So is impeachment talk over for now?
I think so. They'll keep talking, but it's not going to amount to much. There's no public kind of consent to go ahead and say, oh, we couldn't prove Trump was a Russian agent, but because we've been talking about it for 2 years, we really need to follow through on that. Otherwise, our supporters are going to know we're fakes and frauds. well, maybe they should. Maybe Democrats need to come forward. And where have been the sane Democrat voices? There's so few voices in the wilderness on the left who are willing, who were willing to stand up to this. I mean, I can name a few journalists who were. Glenn Greenwald comes to mind. He's the one who reported on the Ed Snowden mass surveillance disclosures and what the NSA was up to. But there's been almost no dissent on the left against their leaders for perpetrating this fraud. And they need to, you know, really, you know, kind of do a little introspection and self-examination here and see how this could happen. This can't be happening. Prosecuting and spying on your political opponents is wrong. It's evil. This is what totalitarian dictatorships do, not the United States of America.
So what happens next in all of this? Is everything said, done, over with?
Well, again, the Democrats are going to keep talking about this. They'll have a bunch of hearings on this. I think what to watch is on the Senate side, we need to see what the president comes up with in terms of declassification. We need reforms. We obviously need intelligence reforms again and again and again. I mean, we keep going through this exercise, and nothing seems to change. And if anything, it's only getting worse. But we have to try to get a handle on this as a country. The technology and the power that the federal government possesses to kind of, you know, frame you for crimes you didn't commit. If they can do this to the president, think of it this way: what chance did the American people stand?
Yeah. Americans for Limited Government, you have said that in light of the findings that the president should immediately pardon you. You mentioned this briefly earlier, pardon anyone who's convicted of a process crime resulting from the Mueller investigation. If you could comment further on that, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is you have a bunch of people who were prosecuted on crimes that were unrelated to the scope of the initial investigation. And then you have people questioned in the scope of the original investigation. And then when the transcripts didn't match up, then they were Mike Flynn was, did he talk to the Russian ambassador about sanctions or not? That whole thing where his surveillance was, this was terrible. I mean, you had surveillance on Mike Flynn talking to the Russian ambassador. There was nothing illegal about talking to the Russian ambassador. In December of 2016, it got leaked to the news media. And then the vice president was brought on television to talk about the leak. Mike Flynn debriefed the vice president on it, and Mike Flynn said, "Oh, sanctions weren't discussed." Well, apparently, something about sanctions was discussed, because then the transcript was leaked to the media, and then the FBI came to talk to Mike Flynn about it all, and then the statements didn't match up, and so he was prosecuted for that. He lost his job for that. I think he had to sell his home. He was financially ruined because of this. Mike Flynn was going to be the national security advisor. He was the one who was he was the architect of Trump's policy on Russia in 2016 during the campaign. He brought Mike Flynn on, and Mike Flynn was the one who was saying we need to try to find some ways to, you know, cooperate against international terrorists like ISIS to try to get Russia to support our efforts to disarm nuclear Iran. And things like that. That was the type of policy. And Trump is, to his credit, I think, is kind of stuck with that policy, despite Mike Flynn going away. It seems like this whole thing was designed to destroy Mike Flynn as much as Donald Trump.
We have Kellyanne Conway, a White House advisor, talking about the House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff, saying that he had to resign today for peddling a lie day after day after day, unchallenged and not under oath. They talk about him being on TV shows 50 times a day for practically the last 2 years, promising Americans that this president would either be impeached or indicted. This is one who has propagated the very line of Russian collusion that was found to be a falsehood. Is it time for certain people in Congress to resign?
This is so disgraceful. The entire Democrat caucus in the House and the Senate would have to resign if that were the case. For peddling this lie. I think that in the very least, there should be an accounting of it. I think that if the Democrat leadership in Congress was serious, they would be, you know, they'd be telling Schiff that he has to step down.
We're going to take a quick break. Folks, our phone lines are open today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your response to the issue, 800-733-9829. If you have a question on the issue, something perhaps you just don't understand, need cleared up, give us a call today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the Russian collusion hoax today. Our guest, Robert Romano from Americans for Limited Government. Folks, you can read up on it and read their analysis, dailytorch.com, dailytorch.com. Our lines are packed. Let's go right to them. We have from Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
This is my comment. Our side lacks the pushback that empowers Pelosi and Schumer to keep on messing with this thing indefinitely, because it's never nipped in the bud. Trump had just mentioned treason, you know, after this whole Mueller investigation. This should have been the real investigation all along. This is a wasted 2 years, $25 million, and a bunch of corruption that just goes by the wayside. My question is do you think that a William Barr may possibly spearhead an investigation into Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama himself, who I think should have been all along the people that should have been investigated?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark.
Well, I think the problem here is that the law, the FISA laws, all these surveillance laws, they give prosecutorial discretion to the executive branch. We elect the president to enforce the laws. And so if he or his Justice Department orders an investigation into something like this, that's an abuse of power for certain. Is it a prosecutable offense? You're going to run into a major problem there. I think what you need here is reform. You have to go to Congress and try to change the laws so that this sort of thing doesn't happen, like where you have these allegations that come out without any sort of verification before you start spying on people and prosecuting them. I think that that's really the problem here. I mean, was it an honest mistake? I don't know. What was in Christopher Steele's mind when he wrote the dossier? Did he know it was wrong? Did he believe the charges? He certainly was trying very hard to get it into the FBI's hands, benefit of the doubt. Maybe he did believe the charges and what his sources were telling him. But nonetheless, the fact was it was hearsay by the time it got to the FBI, and that should have been said. They should have said, we can't use the dossier because we don't have the sources of the information. We don't have the eyewitness accounts. We don't have sworn statements. There were things they could have done short of going to the FISA court that would have probably shown that this thing was not real, and that they could have interdicted the whole thing. So internal reforms, people should be fired. If anyone broke the law, if anyone lied and there's evidence of that, sure, they should be prosecuted. What did Obama know and when did he know it? Was this in the presidential daily briefing? Well, declassification would answer those questions. We think that the president should declassify anything that's in the record about this that doesn't compromise sources and methods so that we know who got it wrong, who to trust, who not to trust, and potentially going through all those thousands of pages of documents, no doubt, perhaps we can find out if somebody was issuing false statements to Congress or otherwise. But I think that unless there's a full public accounting of this, we're really not going to get to the bottom of it, and you're not even going to know if there were any crimes committed.
Mark.
My problem with the whole thing is the deep state and the establishment are the people that are in that high a position that we'll probably never know, or could be a long course of time before, if and when we ever find out anyhow.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call.
I agree with that. I think that they have a perverse incentive for disinformation not to come out. And that's why the president needs to just go over everyone's head. He has the power under law to declassify these documents.
We have Blake next in Foley, Alabama. You're on the air, Blake.
Yeah, I've got a couple of statements. I really don't have a question. First of all, the only people that can fix what's wrong in Washington are the people that's there. And the only thing that's going to fix that is term limits. And they'll never vote for that because once they get there, particularly after they've been elected, reelected, they're in too deep and they've made too many promises. Second thing is, if I don't think it's going to happen, but if we have a serious, bona fide, serious investigation of the Clintons and Loretta Lynch and that bunch, people will start disappearing and ending up in the swamps in Louisiana. You and I both know that. That's a very powerful group.
Okay.
And I guess that's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate your show.
Thank you for listening here, Blake. Term limits, Robert, did that take care of the problem?
I've been supportive of term limits in the past. The president is term limited. You know, they only get two terms, but this seems to keep on happening with these abuses by the intelligence agencies. I think that the problem is there. It's the administrative state. The fact that elected leaders kind of tacitly concede to this, I think, is a huge part of the problem. But it seems like every time you get a new congressman or a new president, they're just not up to the task of conducting proper oversight of the of these functions. And not even the president himself seems to be able to really rein this in. So you have just a real problem with unaccountability in the administrative state, in these agencies, in the Justice Department, at the FBI level. I mean, down to the agent level, you have a problem here. They need to address it, and in a manner that I think would to speak to more accountability by these unelected officials, who largely were the ones who were telling the president and telling members of Congress that there was all this Russia collusion.
Let's go to Dick calling from Franklin County, Washington. Dick, you're on the air.
Thank you. Mine is a little bit different. It's all about the crookedness. Everything I have read, and it seems like it's open information, is that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton received large sums of money as Secretary of State. In fact, one payoff I heard was $100 million that went into the Clinton Foundation. And that is in clear violation of the Emolument Clause of the Constitution, and I don't hear anybody talking about it.
Robert, is there any substance to that?
There was the pay-for-play scandal where Hillary Clinton, you could get meetings at the State Department with Hillary Clinton, and there appeared to be a quid pro quo there. What the problem I think you have here is that when there's a scandal of that magnitude, what do you do? Does the president investigate the member of his own party, his own administration? Does the attorney general go and look at what the Secretary of State was doing? Obviously, they didn't. And that's a part of prosecutorial discretion. I mean, I suppose an alternative would be that you have a special counsel to invest, just like a permanent special counsel to constantly investigate the administration. And I don't think anyone would really support that. It would probably be unconstitutional. You're supposed to have a unitary executive. So there is you really do depend upon electing good leaders when you elect someone to be president, and then all of these powers of the federal government to enforce these laws is put into place, or to not enforce the law.
Yeah, you expect truth, honesty, and integrity. Go ahead, Dick.
Well, I would hope that the present administration would go after her because I don't think there's any limit on time for going after her.
Well, I mean, do we want to start investigating our political opponents, too? You know, tit for tat, reciprocity. And where will that lead us as a country? I mean, is that where we are? Maybe we're already there. Is it just a never-ending kind of legal civil war between both of the political parties where each administration investigates the prior administration? It's shenanigans like that brought down the Roman Republic. I mean, I hope we can find a way to move forward. You don't want corrupt politicians to be in government, but it they're never going to enforce these laws consistently, it would appear. And there's always going to be a partisan incentive or disincentive to prosecute or not to prosecute. And this is why the framers, envisioned the Constitution, I think, the way that they did. I don't know that giving more discretion to the agencies to investigate politicians would actually solve the problem. It might even create even more problems. I think there's a huge problem where political violence is begetting political violence. And in this case, this endless call for investigations, I think that if you focus on the cause of this, the root cause of this, just look at the dossier. Who wrote the dossier? Who paid for the dossier? Were there any frauds committed? What can be done to ensure that intelligence, when it's given to the FISA court, is verified before they start pursuing anything, or that before going to the FISA court, that it's verified, so that this sort of thing doesn't happen, so that they realize that this wasn't real. There needs to be more than just partisan suspicion that my political enemies are evil.
Dick, appreciate the call. We're going on to Julie from Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. The first caller that was on, I agree with everything that he said about the president should be able to go after, Hillary Clinton, Obama, a lot of these people that have caused this in the first place. And I want to know, is if I am understanding your answer, is it true that President Trump cannot go after the people that has caused all this damage? I mean, after all, they have caused...
He can in order an investigation. Like I said, he needs to tell his intelligence chiefs to go and find out what the heck happened here. Now that there's no more special counsel, the president is in full control of the executive branch. He should task the attorney general to look for any crimes that were committed in the course of this. What I wouldn't want to do, though, is set up false expectations to your listeners. In terms of what is achievable here, it's quite possible that many of these investigations were ordered, but that in itself was not a crime because they were proceeding on what they believed was factual information. It may not have been factual, but they didn't know that at the time. It's entirely possible. Was the FISA judge in on it? I mean, did he know that the information wasn't verified? Was he even required under the law to verify the information, or did they just rubber stamp these FISA applications? We think they're rubber stamps, actually. My organization had rubber stamps made. We gave them to Devin Nunes, these rubber stamps that say FISA warrant approved. It was kind of as a tongue-in-cheek joke, but it underscores, I think, the dilemma here. President Trump has the executive power to order an investigation into all of this, but don't expect prosecutions.
Julie?
Well, my question is, why is Hillary Clinton getting away with everything she's done when it's clear, obvious that she has done a lot of damage?
Thank you, Julie. I guess we'll have to see if prosecutors go that direction here, Robert.
I think so. The fact was that under the Obama administration, the Justice Department took a pass at prosecuting Hillary Clinton for her private email server, for the pay-for-play scandal, and all of these things. Is it because she was Bill Clinton's wife? Probably. Would the average American get such a shake of the law? I don't think so. I think that there's clearly a double standard here, but I think it underscores this dilemma. The people who we elect to these offices, any government you can conceive of, unless it was operated by a computer or something, is not going to be impartial and just say, oh, that's an infraction. I mean, do we want to have, how do you deal with this? How do you go back? If you want to say, let's go prosecute Hillary Clinton, and don't we think the Democrats, when they get back in power, are going to want to retaliate? I mean, how do we move forward as a nation? Maybe the real solution here is for President Trump to just pardon everyone that had anything to do with any of this stuff, so that way we can move forward as a nation and hopefully learn from our mistakes here. But we have to have kind of a detente between Republicans and Democrats not to use the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus on one another. It's going to lead to a civil war if we keep going in that direction.
Let's go to Cyrus in Sarasota, Florida. Cyrus, you're on the air.
That rather complex question, and it's simple at the same time, Mr. Romano, Jim. What exactly is an FBI dossier, and what are the powers of it?
Okay. I think what happened here was you had a former British agent who was hired by the DNC and the Clinton campaign to author the so-called dossier. What went into that? Who were his sources? The dossier doesn't say who the sources was. It just says, like, source A, source B says this, source D says this. Why don't we take that on the way back?
Great.
But what went into the dossier?
Great. Stand by. Thank you, Cyrus, for the call. We'll pick up with that after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Back in just 60 seconds, Robert Romano is our guest. DailyTorch.com is his site. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, we have some pastors in America that are twisting the real meaning of Romans 13 to declare that Christians are never to be involved in opposing their governments. They should vote, but pretty much that's it. No lobbying, no legislation, nothing. Well, this form of pietism is very dangerous, and it plays right into the hands of the revolutionaries. The red-green axis, the Marxists and the Muslims, trying to carry out a revolution in our America. Because it says that we should not oppose them because all governments are ordained or approved of God. That is false. God allows governments to come and go. He is sovereign. He is in control. God creates nations. God does not necessarily create every government that comes along. Man is free to create government and abolish government and reestablish government. Man is also free to oppose tyranny in order to fulfill the purpose of government, reward the righteous, and punish the wicked.
We're discussing the Russian collusion hoax today on Crosstalk. Robert Romano is with us. He is Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government, the website DailyTorch.com. Robert, as we were heading into that break, the caller was asking about this dossier and needing some more information on it.
Yes. So, again, this was paid for by the DNC and the Clinton campaign. It was former British agent Christopher Steele who wrote the dossier. He was working for Fusion GPS, which the Democrat DNC law firm, Perkins Coie, had hired. This information was then given to the FBI by Christopher Steele and by Fusion GPS, and this got filtered into the kind of the law enforcement apparatus and the intelligence apparatus. And so then it got eventually formulated into this FISA warrant against Trump campaign official Carter Page. That happened in October of 2016, and then it was renewed a number of times all the way into 2017, until the special counsel was named. After Jeff Sessions recused himself, the Attorney General, and Rod Rosenstein put him into place after James Comey was fired. One thing led to another, but really it was political opposition research, which apparently had fabricated claims in it, that was then turned into a so-called real intelligence product of the United States. They endorsed it. They included it, the information in the FISA application. I think in the process it was, became classified, and so like, I think whoever was trafficking this dossier around after October 2016 was probably releasing classified information, whether they knew it or not.
Mm-hmm. Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Jim, you mentioned truth, honesty, integrity.
Yes.
I don't think that's any words or terms that most in government even know anymore. That's far gone.
Yeah.
But as far as the Clintons go, they could go after him, but the filth and dirt is so wide that if they took her down, Mr. Romano, she could take down probably half of Congress. That's why this isn't gone, because that's the main thing. And as far as the dossier, you're right. I mean, that is in Britain. British MI6 is even involved. This thing, you know, you said earlier, Mr. Romano, that you weren't sure what was in their mind. I'm going to go out on a limb and venture to say that they're out to destroy us, this country, and Trump. They hate Christianity, they hate conservatism, and they vomit on the truth.
Wow.
I mean, that's bad to say, but that's really what's going on.
I think we should assume the worst. The president has to, you know, basically talk to our allies overseas, and there needs to be an accounting here. I mean, this can't be allowed to go down the way it has. And so if there's a public reckoning, an exposure, if there's a scandal in the UK or whatever, whatever the truth is, that's what needs to come out. And that way people in their own countries can kind of deal with these matters politically as they should. And we can have reforms and we can prevent this from happening again, hopefully. And I think it needs to be done very carefully. We need to move very judiciously. I think that Republicans are very rightly upset and angered by this. It's very angering. I've been very frustrated these past couple of years as this has all gone down. But I've also thought a whole lot about what the implications are going forward. How do we disarm this the use of law enforcement and intelligence against our political opponents? We have to think very carefully about what we do next, and we have to move forward in a way that you can later look back on and say, we were in the right. If there were people who were, you know, defrauding the court, they should be prosecuted.
We need to move on. Colleen in Venice, Florida, you're on the air.
Hi. I agree with what you said about where does it end with investigating the investigators, and how far do we take that? What does it go on and on? In this situation, though, with what has occurred over the last several years here, I think that there is tremendous pent-up frustration on both sides. And I think it would be very healing for the country, and it would be very good if some of the crimes that have occurred on the left were exposed. I think that as far as setting the country back on a right path, how can we do that if we just continue on like that never happened, and all of those things that there's massive amounts of evidence against the Clintons, but it's tremendously frustrating on the right to just have to push on like, okay,
just sweep it under the carpet.
Why do they get a free pass? What shouldn't we pursue that?
Okay, thank you.
It's very persuasive. I think that that's the flip side of it, is that weakness is provocative. If something isn't done to go after people who did this, who perpetrated this fraud, that basically encourages it to happen again as well. So on one hand, you risk retaliation by going after the people that perpetrated this. On the other, if you do nothing, they'll probably do it again too. So that's why we have to be very careful and go after the right targets in terms of who were the greatest wrongdoers here, who were the ones who were actually defrauding the public, the courts, etc.
Thank you, Colleen. Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for your show. Mr. Romano is a lot smarter than I ever hoped to be, but I have to disagree with him strongly that if collusion was not proven and someone was lying, slander, maliciousness, treason, you can name a number of things. If you don't lock these people up in federal prison, they will keep doing it. You have to set an example to put the fear of God in people to prevent this from ever happening again.
Charlie, thank you. Because we're down to 60 seconds, I'm going to have Robert respond here. And Robert, that's basically what you were saying to the last caller.
Yes, they just need to go after the right targets of the greatest wrongdoers to set the example, I think. You know, the idea, it was all Hillary. No, I mean, let's get down to the agent level and see who was really defrauding the court. I think that's where the crime would have been committed if it was.
Great. Thank you so much, Charlie, for the call. Wish we had more time because we know many more would like to speak on the issue here today. But the whole matter, and it's really broken down. You'll find articles and writings on this at dailytorch.com, dailytorch.com. Robert, thank you so much for joining us here today on the broadcast.
I really appreciate it.
Great. And folks, check out the writings on this and so many other topics of critical importance to our nation, and really boils down to our need to be in prayer for this nation again, and in consistent prayer for our leadership and for those that are making the decisions that impact us as a people. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. for a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.
I'm John Scott.
The yeas are 248 and the nays are 181. Two-thirds not being in the affirmative, the veto of the president is sustained and the joint resolution is rejected.
President Trump's national emergency declaration.